This is the You Are a Resilient Woman podcast with September Burton. I am a domestic abuse, stalking, and family court abuse survivor. I speak because I believe that there is a magic that happens when women heal together. For every woman who speaks, she empowers thousands of other women. Stand with me, speak with me, heal with me. Go to allihaveleftismyvoice.com to read my story.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. Please go to change.org/September Burton to sign my petition to help me hold an abuser accountable and get my children back.
Hello, everyone. This is September Burton from the You Are a Resilient Woman podcast. Today, I have with me Sarah Stradling, and Sarah is a fascinating woman. I want to read to you a little bit of what she sent to me when we talked about her coming on this show. She said, 5 years ago, I was divorced, broke, burnt out, and on the verge of a mental breakdown. I was living with my parents, very depressed, weighed nearly 500 pounds, and had just lost my job that I absolutely hated. So we're going to start there and get to a happier place because you look like you are much happier than you sound like you were at that point in your life. Before we actually hit record, we were talking about how you would just pour every piece of you into this relationship and it completely drained you. So do you want to talk about that?
Absolutely. It was a wild ride with him. As I mentioned to you, September, he was bipolar with severe anxiety. And I'm a very outgoing, outspoken, bold individual. And I was trying very hard to fix him. I'm a bit of an empath. I can feel when others are upset. And so I tried to fix him big time in regards to, you can get through this, we can together, and I'd give him a lot of my energy to help him through his episodes. And his manic episodes were definitely better a match for me because we would go out, we would do things, it felt good, and I enjoyed those moments. But then the flip side of those, which were more often the depressive episodes, were where it drained all of my energy trying to help him through those. And I definitely now know how not to do that and protect my own energy in a big way. But at that time, I didn't know much. I did some research on his bipolar disorder as well as his anxiety disorder to try to find better ways to help him. But I ignored the advice that's often given, don't allow it to drain you, because I was like, I'm strong enough, I've got this. And
I had that exact same thought. Sorry, I don't mean to interrupt you, but I literally had that exact same thought. I'm strong enough, I can handle this.
Exactly, and we think we've got it.
Right. I'm sorry, keep going, please.
And I'm a big woman at 487 pounds. I'm 5'11". Nobody believed I weighed as much as I did because I carried it everywhere. And so they weren't as concerned about my weight. There were people definitely that were, but nobody was really concerned about it in the sense of it being as bad as it was for the rest of me. And when I poured everything into him, I lost myself down to, I started behaving like he did when he had anxiety. There's a specific instance where I was out to breakfast with my mom at a breakfast eatery place. And it's this cute little like retro themed diner type thing. And we were one of few people there. There was a girl behind me who was animatedly talking on a camera, similar to how I am with you right now via this Zoom. And I was interested in sign language and was considering studying sign language when my mom was like, look at that. Look at, I think she's doing sign language and like drawing a lot of attention to us. And our waitress was this bubbly little cute thing with braids in. And at the time I had dreadlocks down to my waist. And I was like, mom, could you please stop? You're embarrassing me. And I would never typically do that. Typically I would be super interested and engaged with the waitress, but I was like, you're a lot. Could you please go away? Just thank you. Don't talk to me, even though I normally would have wanted to talk to someone like her. And then with the woman behind me, I was like, stop, stop. Like she's going to see, stop it. And it was in that moment that I was like, who am I? Like, this is not me. This is him. I am not this kind of person. I don't care about these things. But he had spent so much of our relationship, the 5.5 years that we were together, basically telling me not to be myself because it made him uncomfortable. And after that day, I got in my car, I cried, and I was like, I was afraid at that moment that I was never going to find that girl that I was before him. And sorry, I didn't think I'd cry. And then I was like, that's it. I'm done being somebody I'm not for somebody else. So I made a kind of epiphany moment to go forward at that point and try to change. And then shortly after that, he asked for the divorce, told me he never loved me. He hoped the feelings would come and they didn't. And it solidified it. I hung on for a little bit longer because I was like, no, I can still fix him. I can still do this. And then everything fell apart. The day after he asked for the divorce, he went on a date and borrowed my car to do it.
Oh my.
And I didn't know that's what it was until he came home and told me. And I was like, are you kidding me? You're still married. We lived together for another 2 months. And that was when I realized, I was like, I can't live with you. So I made arrangements and moved in with my parents at 28 years old, thinking my life was over, nearly 500 pounds. And I just went from that point on, changing everything I didn't like that he had tried to take away from me. I got rid of all of that. I did a lot of forgiveness exercises, mindset exercises, although I didn't know that's what they were at the time. And I spent a lot of time trying to make sure that I didn't hold any hate in my heart for him, which I don't know if that was the right way to do it, but because at one point I did blow up on him when he texted me randomly for something a year later. I was like, are you kidding? And I like unleashed all of the hate I had never told him in that moment, but it got me through for sure.
I don't know that there is a right way to heal from this kind of pain. And then one of the things about doing these interviews for me is actually this is part of my healing process. And it's amazing to me when I listen to women's stories, the parallels. I remember thinking to myself, will I ever be myself again? And that when I'm going to cry now, when you realize that you lost yourself, it's the most devastating thing. But looking at you right now, like you are beautiful. And so I'm sitting here thinking, have you gotten yourself back? Did you refine yourself?
I would say I found an even better version of her, and I'm not even done. Now I'm going to cry more because it's been a very interesting last year. This way, my marriage was over 2014-15 in that area, and I have spent the last 5 years growing into an amazing version that I'm in absolute love with and super excited to continue to explore. It's become spiritual, which I did not expect it to. My marriage, I joined the Mormon church because in 2011 I had lost my younger brother to a drug overdose. I was very upset with my parents because I'd been telling them for years, he's doing drugs, you need to do something. Okay, now he's doing and dealing, you need to do something. And 2 weeks before he died, I said, I'm not coming over anymore until you do something. And then he admitted that I was right the whole time and that he wanted to kick it himself and not tell me that I was right. And then he overdosed 2 weeks later. And I had said, I'm not coming to this house until you do something about this. Because the next time you see me, he'll either be in jail, in the hospital, or dead. And unfortunately, those last two were what the phone call I got was 2 weeks later. I was so upset with my parents for the longest time that I went into therapy for 3 straight years to work through that, although I would avoid talking about that for the longest time. And the Mormon church, when it happened in the middle of our relationship, was like that family that I needed, because I didn't have one with my family at that time. And then I've left the church since then. I'm not active. It didn't fit with the future I saw, but it was there when I needed it. And now it's become this spiritual awakening, if you will, into the power that I've always known was there within me. And it was there very brightly when I met him. He tried to extinguish it, and I've reignited it, thrown wood on it, and now we have bonfire going, and I'm in love with the future that I'm not even sure is coming, but I'm sure that it is, and I'm just discovering what that future is that I want for myself, and it's been pretty wild.
I love that. I feel like we should all be like surrounding you right now, like cheering you on and like throwing a big party, like that. Everything you just said is so powerful. It's so beautiful.
Well, that's why I do what I do with coaching. I'm a health mindset coach for women who are severely obese. That's why I do what I do, because I was that girl who was dropped into a situation I never thought I would be in. And I couldn't physically do anything about my weight at that time. I couldn't walk. I couldn't move. I couldn't do anything. And so I had to figure out how to get healthy, get myself back, and lose weight so that I could live longer. Because I was waiting for a doctor to tell me to do something about my weight, or I was going to die before I was willing to do anything. Mm-hmm. And then I wouldn't go to the doctor, so he couldn't tell me that. Oh, I'm pretty sure my mascara is not waterproof, so this should be an interesting look.
That's okay.
Anyway, so didn't expect to cry this much.
So you talked a little bit about like forgiveness exercises and mindset exercises and the spiritual path that you're now on. Will you talk a little bit more about that and maybe give some tips? And what can a woman who's still in the depths of it, or maybe just starting to come out of it, what do you recommend she do to build that fire, to reignite that fire that is inside of her?
So what I would say, those exercises that I did were I tried to fit them in the religious box, which it didn't fit. So I ended up doing it on my own and just saying, I will not hold hate for him. I'm going to, because the hate is toxic and it's like drinking poison and expecting him to die. It's not going to work. I have to just move on, thank him for the lesson he taught me about what it was I wanted in a relationship and what I would just settle for or allow or tolerate or whatever the term you want to use would be. He taught me a lot. So for anyone that's in that situation where they feel like my life is over, what do? Know that your fire is not out ever completely. The pilot light is always there, in my opinion, because the fact that you are still here shows that pilot light is still lit.
Yeah.
And in order to turn it back on, you have to clear the furniture that's been shoved up against that wall heater where that pilot light lives. You have to clear that all out before you ignite the flame. And if you, because otherwise you're going to burn the house down and it becomes a dramatic, emotional, traumatic situation for you in a new relationship when you haven't cleared that clutter. And my first two relationships after him were those trying to start many house fires, a relationship where I hadn't fully cleared. I spent like a year single, just going back to school to study sign language like I'd wanted to. And figure out who I was. My first semester, I failed my class. Thankfully, I'd taken it before, and I could transfer that grade over. But because I was retaking it, and I completely bombed it. I got a 10 points in that whole class, a big fat F. But I pushed through that, finished my degree, got an associate's degree in business, completely switched my major, which is not surprising because I've done that a few times before. And if you can clear out the problems and all the baggage of that relationship and switch your perspective 180 degrees to look at the lessons that were learned in it instead of what it took from you, look at what it gave you.
Yeah.
Holy moly, man, like that whole relationship now is not as awful as it felt. Like, even just telling you now, I'm like, it wasn't that bad. Like, I learned a lot from it. It seems pretty harsh, and I get that because I've lived it, and I was in that moment mindset-wise where I was like, I'm heartbroken, I'm defeated, I'm worthless, obviously no one loves me, they pretend to, like, all of those thoughts crossed my mind. But in my effort to say, I will not give up and I will never dull my own light for anyone else, I discovered that that relationship was a stepping stone into me discovering my true self. I had to go through it so that I could grow through it. Mm-hmm. And now I am living my dream life, living off-grid on 20 acres. I have a great relationship with somebody who is absolutely night and day. We communicate. And while he may look very similar to my ex, because I have a type, he and I just are so different, the way we interact with one another and the way we grow together. And yeah, we have our struggles. He has anxiety, so there are some things that he'll do that trigger almost like PTSD in me and flash me back to those years 5 years ago where I'm like, no, that's not going to fly. But all of that taught me what I would accept, what I tell significant others in a new relationship, or even in this current one that's been going 3 years strong, say, I'm not going to tolerate you not communicating with me. I'm not going to allow that to be part of our relationship. So either you talk to me right now or we end it here. Like, I have no problem being like, deuces, I will walk away. I mean, his friends think we're crazy because we own cars together, we own a house together, we may as well be married, but not by like paperwork, we're not, because we share everything as if we were. But there's just a trust between us that we'll work through whatever comes our way. And it's really nice to have set that boundary up front so that I don't have to like worry that they're going to cross it. They know what will happen if that happens.
I like what you were just talking about with the boundaries and saying that we will communicate or else I'm not going to be a part of this relationship. And I think that setting healthy boundaries is such a, that's the topic of conversation right now, wherever you go to talk about healthy relationships. The number one thing is setting healthy boundaries. The other thing that you just said that I really liked was you talked about how you felt like you weren't lovable and you decided that you were going to reignite you and that you were not going to give up and you were not going to quit. And now look at where you are. And that's the self-love piece. Like, even at your lowest point, you had to have had a certain level of self-love to be able to say that to yourself and now create this new life for yourself. I am in awe of you right now.
Oh, thank you. I don't feel like I'm humbled by it because I don't feel like I've done anything grand or special, but I do know that it works because I'm living proof that does. And that's why I teach mindset to people, because mindset is, it's commonly known in the coaching world, but regular people out there that don't know anything about this are just waking up to how much power being positive and the way that you talk to yourself, mm-hmm. how much power that has over everything. And just sitting in this office is one piece of a positive mindset and what it attracted into our lives. Because a year ago, we were living between my parents' house, a neighbor of like a friend of ours' house, and our 1990 32-foot mobile home that we were living on, a 10-acre piece we had purchased with the intent to build it into our home, and got in pretty way over our heads as far as financially. We weren't making any money at the time. We barely had a running vehicle at the time. It was a very wild situation, and winter hit, and it was just like, there's no way we could stay living in this 260 square feet with four dogs. And there's no like room to walk. You walk over a dog to get down the hallway. And our neighbors, we were like, we would really love to have a house of our own that is just done. out here in the off-grid world. Like, we can't afford, at that time, we couldn't afford to, like, put propane in the propane tank to keep the heater going. What made us think we could have a house that we would be able to afford to do that with? And we got incredibly lucky, but we also put in some serious mindset work to say, what do we want? And we manifested, if you will, a house and 20 acres, completely set up with septic, solar, generators, everything we needed on a owner carry situation, because we couldn't get a regular loan to do something like this, like in a normal fashion. And the neighbors were like, do you want to buy our house? And the greatest part, in my opinion, is the color of the wall behind me. That is the exact color the outside of this house is painted. And that is my favorite color in the world. And I was like, don't even paint it because I love it. And they're like, really? I was like, please don't. Because that was something they would have had to have done to put it on the regular market. And I was like, no, this house is meant for me. And this office I'm in used to be a cat room where it was not kept. It had exposed wood floors, and we manifested the money to be able to paint and remodel, and now it's my office and a great space to create in, and that's what I do every day.
Wow. Thank you, Sarah. This is such an inspirational and beautiful story. I think that women who are listening to this story, who are ready to love themselves, learn how to truly love themselves, take control of their health and things like that, are going to be inspired. So thank you so much for coming on.
You're welcome. Thank you. I appreciate it. This is what I do now. And I appreciate the opportunity to share it with you and everyone that would be listening, because it's been a really amazing journey. And I hope this for anyone who's feeling like there's not a hope in the future. I really wish that you discover this and exactly when you need to and can grow into your greatest being. It's a big reason why I started the Big 180 Project and what I do with that to turn people's lives around like I've been able to in ways that I never imagined 5 years ago. It wasn't even on my radar to do what I'm doing right now, but it is absolutely exactly what I'm meant to do. So I hope you find that.
It's perfect. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you for listening. If you're in danger, call 911 and your local women's shelter. Get yourself safe so you can begin to heal. And when you're ready, reach out. You have a tribe. You have support. Find me at alliehaveleftismyvoice.com or on any social channel as September Burton.